Hello. Oh, I need a healer. I need a healer. I need a healer. I need a healer. Over there. I need a healer. I do. Life's been so tough. It's been really hard. It's been really hard. I never imagined I would hurt so much. I hurt so much. I never knew people could hurt me so much. Hurt me so deeply. I need a healer. I feel so beaten up, so broken. I'm so broken. Is there nobody to help me? Nobody? Yeah. You look too perfect for me. I'm scared of you. I need a healer. I struggle with feeling loved. I don't know what it feels to be loved. Am I loved? Am I loved? I've only known pain and sorrow and grief and brokenness. I don't know who I am. I need a healer. Done so many bad things. You wouldn't know the things I've done. So many bad things. Horrible things. Nobody could love me. Nobody. Nobody could love me. I'm so broken. I'm too broken. I'm a mess. I need a healer. I can't even walk. I need a healer. Jesus, I heard you could heal me. But it seems too good to be true that you could just heal me. I've heard all these things about you touching people's lives and making them new. But you couldn't do that for me. I'm too broken. I'm too messy. But I need a healer. Take this from me. Take this from me. I need a healer. I wonder if you could help. I wonder, could you? Would you help me? If it's true, Jesus, that you heal and you touch people's lives, and can you do that for me? Please. I'm a big mess. I struggle with so many things. And I can't see how you would even love me. Would you? Would you? Seriously? Seriously, you love me? You love me? You care for me? Oh, I can stand. I can stand. Okay, not very well. Oh, I'm glad there's crutches. Because I can't stand yet. I can't stand. But this is better. This is better. This is way better. No. I'm way too messed up. I really am. I'm way too messed up. You can't really love me. What you say is not really true. I'm too messed up. I've done way too many things. I'm too unlovable. And yet you love me. Jesus, you love me. But there has to be something that I should do. You know, I think if I could try harder, I could walk better, right? Okay, I'm just try really hard. I'm gonna try to do it in, you know what, I can do it. I can do it, I should be able to do it. No, I really can't do it. I should be able to do it. Look at all those people out there. How come they don't have crutches? How come they don't have Band-Aids? How come they're so perfect? And I'm far from perfect. Look at me, why is it so hard for me? Why is it so hard for me? Take this away from me. Take it away. Jesus, take it away. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Really? You lifted me out of a slimy pit? You set my feet on a rock. You gave me a firm place to stand. Okay, if I can trust you, if I can trust you with standing, if I can trust you with that, I could trust you to get me out of the mess of my past. Can you do that, Jesus? Get me out of the mess. The slimy pit. I don't want to feel so dirty and shameful anymore. I don't want to feel that way anymore. So lost in many ways, I want to walk stronger. What are you saying? In my weakness, you are my strength. That doesn't sound right. I'm supposed to be strong and then you'll love me. What, you're saying I don't have to have it all together for you to love me? You'll love me? Even if I keep struggling, you'll love me? Jesus, please clean me up. I accept that you forgive me. I accept that. Oh, wow. That's better. Whoa. Wait there, yeah. Thought I was gonna fall there for a minute. I'm thankful for this cane. I'm thankful for it. I hate falling. I hate falling. Every time I think about falling, my heart starts pounding. I start sweating because I hate to fall. I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall. Why does my leg still drag? Why do I need this cane? I'm thankful for it, but why don't I need this cane? I don't see anybody with a cane. They're all pretty perfect. Why do I need this cane, Lord? I hate it that I have to use this cane. Why can't I get my act together, Jesus? Come on, Jesus, why do I still struggle? Why am't I perfect like everybody else? Look at them. I'm so broken. Take this away from me. Take it away. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I'm weak, you are strong. Jesus. Jesus, your grace is sufficient for me. Help me to see that your grace is sufficient for me. I think I get it. No, I think I'm getting it. I don't think I get it all, Lord. But I'll accept that your grace is enough for me. That you accept me. That you accept me. That you love me. In all my weaknesses and the places I struggle, in my difficulties, the things that I can't see yet, you still love me. Do you accept me, Jesus, just as I am? Just as I am. Help me to see that I'm strong in this place when I tell you my weakness. Because then you, Jesus, can be my strength. And you can be my power. Not me, but your will. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to be perfect. All you're doing is asking me to come. And I come to you, Jesus. I come to you, Jesus. Freedom. That's where the cross is, right there. Freedom. As I was praying about the message this morning, I kept seeing the word freedom. It was like imprinted above my head. Freedom. Not in a freedom that takes away all our struggles or our trials, our temptations, our things that we deal with, chaotic things, whatever it is. But a freedom that says, come just as you are. Come just as you are to the Lord. The Lord Jesus, who is our healer, who is our advocate, who is our strength, the one who says who you are in the core of your identity. And I've been ruminating on all of this. I do have a little bit of a limp. I have a heel spur that I've had for about a year, and it's acting up. And it's been reminding me of my limitation. And it's interesting, there's a few people at Trinity with limitations now. Brad's bad back, and we're sensing a limitation. But I sat with that and went, Lord, what is the limitation of how you're trying to speak to us about that? And I've come to a place of ruminating on what it means to adopt a broken church culture. And hear me, broken church culture doesn't mean that we are wallowing in our brokenness. It doesn't mean that we're allowed to stay in the place of pain and heartbreak and sorrow, but it's an acknowledgement of the places in us that need Jesus. It means recognizing that even though Jesus saved and redeemed and paid the price, he paid the price for our penalty of sin, surprise, we still sin. You who without sin cast the first stone. We all sin. There isn't a perfect church, nor is there a perfect person. And yet somehow culture has pegged us to be perfect people. Oh, if you know Jesus, you're perfect. You won't sin anymore. You've got that. I have a friend, a relative who goes, "My, you're a hypocrite. You sin all the time. You're far from perfect." And I'm like, hallelujah. I'm far from perfect. Because Jesus said, I'm not called to be perfect. He is the perfect one for my brokenness. He was always meant to be that, the perfect one for me and for you. The church around needs to see the reality of broken people empowered by the love of Christ. That is the greatest testimony of our lives. That the world around us see our brokenness, but in our brokenness they see the miraculous power of Jesus, who comes in and restores and touches and heals us at our very core, even when we still struggle with the same thing. I've been reminded this summer over and over that Jesus' strength is made perfect in our weakness, and especially when we admit our weakness. We've heard this summer from Jared about when the call is tested, this call is tested, the call of the Lord's on us, and the fruit of obedience. It was a beautiful message, and that God's intervention is the best for us. How God intervenes and shows us who he is as we walk out and obey the things that he's calling us to do. And we heard Jana recognizing how God guides and speaks to us, that God moves in and through our circumstance. And she talked about Joseph and Joseph's life. Pretty tough. But nothing is impossible with God. And somehow Joseph had a view that nothing is impossible with God. But it's hard to listen to God when you're thinking about yourself. And I was reminded of that this summer in a place of discouragement. Discouragement of not seeing healing in the way that I want to see healing. and difficulty when I think it should be easy. And I began to ruminate on all of these things that are happening in life and went, I'm thinking about myself. All of that was the pain of the circumstance. And I began to lose my identity in what God was saying of who I was. I began to get discouraged. People, we will get discouraged. I think that's the biggest thing that the enemy will do, is when circumstance in our life begins to paint a picture of how it will always be, we can get discouraged. And we can lose our sense of identity in the Lord. And the Lord's hope is that we always come back, that we always come back to him and say, oh man, I need you to affirm again my identity. Who am I? Who am I, God? At the very core of who I am, in the place of my struggle and my circumstance, who am I? And sometimes we need each other. We need each other to look us in the eye and say, who are you? This is who you are. Do you know your identity? And that happened to me. That happened to me this weekend. And I went, yeah, I know who I am. Child of God. I'm a redeemed one. And last night I reflected on that because it was a quick answer, right? It was very quick. I know who I am. I'm not struggling with my identity. Last night I sat with that and I went, oh man, I was struggling with my identity. Because my circumstance was painting the picture of who I am. And the Lord wants to say, no, you are who I say you are, no matter what you face and no matter what your circumstance is. And thankfully, we need each other. We need each other to say and remind us of who we are. And Brad talked about the doxology, that there's no limit to God's wisdom and understanding, no limit to his knowledge and his abilities to act on our behalf and act for his glory's sake. The Lord is acting to show his glory to the world around us in our lives. That it isn't about me, but it's about Jesus being the center of our life. He is at the very core of our life. So freedom in a broken church culture. I really want us to see us as a broken church. Because we can see ourselves as the perfect church. But when the world sees us a broken church where we are coming with our band-aids, we're coming with our wounds and our broken places, and we are asking Jesus to heal us at the very core. The aroma of that in the world is beautiful. It's a sweet aroma. And it's saying to the person who, I use the crutch and the wheelchair and the cane as physical symptoms, band-aids, but we don't often see that. But it's saying to those who are wounded, who are broken inside, who are desperate for some type of hope, is that they see our desperation and our poverty, they see Jesus. Because they see a people, faces on the floor with the Lord, crying out for healing, crying out. So if God is all-powerful and nothing is impossible with God, I think I face that with illness at home. If God's possibilities are endless. He can do anything. I'm faced with the question, why do we still limp? Why do I still limp? Why do I sometimes face the same situation 6 months in? Or a year later, or 2 years later, or a week later, why do I face the same human angst in me? Why do we still struggle with weakness? And is there any merit to recognizing our struggles? Is there any merit? Or should I just pretend to be perfect? I believe there's a great purpose in our neediness with the Lord. In our recognizing our need for the Savior in whatever area that we need saving from. But this is to show culture around us that we are human, and to be human is to struggle. Amen? Am I the only struggler? You guys are looking at me like, oh no, what's next? To be human is to struggle. We've talked about the sinful human condition that's chaotic, that's at war with the Spirit in us. We're human, and to be human is to struggle. Our struggle propels us in desperation for Jesus. That's what it should do. Our struggle should compel us to the Savior, to the healer, Jesus. For Jesus to come and be our strength, and the world to see it, and the world to see it. I hate limping. I hate it. I think deemed a perfectionist. I'll try harder. I'll do things harder so that I don't limp. Or I will clean up my environment and tuck away all the struggles in a drawer and push the drawer in so that no one sees that messy drawer. I don't know if anyone can relate. But we all deal with struggles. We all deal with our own ways of coping with our struggles. But coming to the place of celebrating our limp or our neediness is countercultural. It's foolishness to the world. The world says, be better. Do better. Think positive thoughts. You can do all things. Clean up. You yourself can clean up. You just look at Facebook or social media, clean up. And show a picture of perfection to the world. But there's something about the limp and the neediness of our human condition, which is a gift to the culture around us. Luke 6, 17 to 23, I don't have it on the slide, but if you've got a Bible, Luke 6, 17 to 23. It says, he went down with them and stood on a level place. Jesus had just been on the mountaintop or mountainside with his disciples. He'd spent some time with them, and he was coming down out of the mountain. He picked 12 disciples to come with him. He went down and with them and stood on a level place, and a large crowd of disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. They had heard about this Jesus. And they gathered. I mean, that's from a lot of different places. And they're gathered here because they heard Jesus was there. And they wanted to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Because power was coming from him and healing them all. In my imagination, I go, what did that look like? What did this power look like that they could see? Power was coming out. They wanted to touch him because power was coming out of Jesus. But then what gets me is verse 20. Looking at his disciples, he said. So Jesus didn't look at the massive crowd right here. He looked at his disciples. And he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they persecute or exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. What? Back up the train. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy in your poverty, in your hunger, when you're weeping, when you're persecuted and insulted. He says, rejoice now. Leap for joy in that place, because great is your reward in heaven. But where I want to stop is, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And the three words that stood out here in this verse for me was blessed, poor, and kingdom. Those three words stood out, and so I looked them up, and blessed is the word makarios, is a Greek word. And makarios means when God extends his benefit. It's described as a believer in an enviable position. Enviable position. From receiving God's provision, which extend his grace or his benefits. So that's what the word blessed means. That you're put into an envious place because of God's provision and his benefits for you. So sit with that. You're a blessed people. The Lord Jesus has extended his benefits towards you, freely giving it to you to the full capacity, to the fullness of it. So the other people around you go, hey, what's going on with Brad? Dude, that guy is like, look at the Lord. Look at all the benefits the Lord has given him. Wow, I'm a little bit envious. Not us, but this is meeting the world around. The world around, his neighbors are seeing Brad and going, what's up with that dude? What's up with that guy? And the second word is poor. And this means destitute. This means spiritually poor. Poverty. This means it can either be in a good sense, so in a humble state with the Lord, or it can be in the opposite, so far from humble, poor as poor can be, or just plain bad. One of the words used is bad. So enviable are you who are bad, who are destitute, who are poor, who don't have your stuff together, or who do. And the last one is kingdom. And the definition of kingdom is kingship, sovereignty, authority, and rule. Thinking of those words with kingdom, this rule, this sovereign place. It's the realm in which a king sovereignly rules. It's the realm in which a king sovereignly rules. A kingdom always requires a king, as the kingdom of God does with King Jesus. The kingdom of God requires King Jesus to rule, and he does. But our hearts are a kingdom, and it desires somebody to rule and reign. And we can do it. I can rule and reign over my own destiny, my own life. But we as believers are called into the kingdom, that the kingdom has come and his will be done. And kingdom also refers to the rule of Christ in the believer's heart. So this means, I'll say it this way, how fortunate, how enviable you are in your poor, destitute, spiritually poor, humble, or bad state. Whoa, can we say that? How enviable. For in this place you receive the rule of Christ in your heart. See, it's not an enviable state when you don't know the Lord. It's a pretty bad state when you don't know the Lord. But here we're standing on this side and we've invited Jesus to come in and take his place and his rule and reign in our heart. What an enviable thing that is when we can say to the Lord, I am poor and I need you. I'm destitute, but I need the touch of your hand, because it can only be the Lord to touch us and to restore and to heal us at the very core of our hearts, because he's ruling and reigning in the kingdom of us. His kingdom is moving and having its place in us. Mark 2:16 to 17 says, when the scribes who were Pharisees saw Jesus eating with these people, they asked his disciples. And I always love when I hear, I love that the Pharisees saw Jesus eating with these people, or it could be those people, meaning the people we don't associate with, because they're those people. And they see Jesus eating with these people, and they ask his disciples. It's interesting, they didn't ask Jesus, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? So they're mulling over this conversation with the disciples, and Jesus hears that. And Jesus, upon hearing, Jesus tells them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come for the sinners. The freedom of a broken church culture is a place where people can see authentic people who recognize their own brokenness, their own need of the Lord, and allow Jesus to come in and heal and restore. Not in a place of shame, but in a place of immense love. That's our journey with the Lord. Just pray for a moment. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you so much for the place of the cross where you bore everything. That you wrestled with taking up that place, and yet you said to your Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." And then you went for it. And you did it on our behalf. And you did it on behalf of the whole world. Jesus, I revel in my poverty, in the places that you've yet to come in and redeem, in the places that you still want to speak to my identity, so I have greater vision of who you are. Jesus, I freely admit that I need you. The very core of who I am, I need you. I'm desperate for you. Desperate for you. Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you that your love is unending. Your love is full of grace and mercy. And your love is for all of us. I ask you, Jesus, that you would give us a hunger and a thirst for you. For you, Jesus. For you, Jesus. And that it's not just about us, Lord. This is about what the world sees around us. This is what you want us to live out, Lord, so that the world can see you redeeming and restoring us and showing up. So have your way in us this morning. Minister to us, Lord. Minister to our deepest need. Amen. We're going to transition to communion. So if the people doing communion this morning can go to the tables. Sam, if you want to come up. As we partake of the table this morning, what I want you to do, I want you to think about things in you. Things in you. I want us to sit and reflect about our needy estate. Because we're needy. We're a redeemed people. We're a restored people, or being restored people. And yet the Lord is always wanting to take us to another place. He's always wanting to take us maybe from the wheelchair to the crutches, to the crutches to the cane. That's not a bad thing. Someone said to me, well, Jesus is just your crutch. And I said, hallelujah, that I have a crutch like Jesus. But we don't want to admit that. We go, ugh, Jesus, my crutch. What if this morning you feel like you should be in the wheelchair? Can Jesus be your wheelchair? Can he be your cane? Steady. Because that's who he is. I want us to think about our sickness, our neediness, our struggles, and reflect on who Jesus is, this healer, this amazing healer and restorer. Oh, he's so good. Whenever he touches our life, it's not about, oh, you should have done it better. It's always about, thank you for coming to me. Thank you. That's what Jesus is saying. Thank you for coming. Thank you for bringing everything to me. And let's reflect on the fact that Jesus' body was nailed to the cross on our behalf. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Oh, if you think about it, his blood was spilled out on our behalf. To forgive and to restore everything that ails us. Yesterday, as the elders and wives were together, we were at a retreat, and we had a time of communion yesterday as we ended our time together. And the plate of bread came by, and we had eaten a lot of food. This person fed us like crazy. I wasn't terribly physically hungry, but the bread on the plate came by, and all I wanted to do was grab the whole loaf and eat it all. I was so hungry for the Lord. I wanted to just take it all in my spirit. I was like, oh, I just want to eat all of this bread. I want to eat all of the Lord and what he did for me and what he wants to keep doing to me. That was my spiritual hunger in me. And then the wine glass came by, and we did wine, okay? And it came by, and I was like, I wanted to just drink it all, not in any place of getting drunk. Okay, just let you guys know. I just wanted to drink all of what Jesus had for me, all of it. And I felt like the Lord say, I want that for your whole life. Every part of your life, I want you that hungry for me. Would you be that? My heart was, Lord, do that for me. I want to be that hungry. Hungry that I eat more and more of what the Lord has for me. I want to drink all that he has done on the cross for me. And that wasn't just for me. I saw then a picture of the world around and my desperation of eating from the Lord, and the world seeing my desperation, and they get hungry. They're like, whoa, he is so hungry. And we're seeing a change, and we're seeing Kenny different, and that's all about this relationship with the Lord. My hungry and thirsty state with the Lord. And I felt like that's what the Lord wants for us. In this season of entering into ministry, I feel like the Lord is saying, will you be hungry for me? And will you be that thirsty for me? So this morning as we partake, I'd like to partake together. So if you can, as Sam plays, if you can come to a table, grab your cup. I know it's not a big mug, or I know it's not a big loaf of bread, but think about that. Think about eating from the Lord's table and what he did for you. What he did for you. This amazing thing of freedom. So bring your elements back to your seat. And I will take a few moments to just think about our sickness, the needy places in us, reflect on that, and then I'll draw us together and we can partake together. All right, this is gluten-free, right? If you need gluten-free, it's here. So as Sam plays, just feel free to go to a table and Receive your elements and bring it back to your pew.